Right, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a great day, and it's a good day to be in the Lord's house. Anytime it's a good day to be in the Lord's house, and we're so glad that you're here to be a part of our worship service this morning. And we look around and we see several of our folks are absent, but we're glad that you're here, and we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so glad to see you. A couple of people we haven't seen for a couple of weeks, and we welcome you back, and we welcome Judy and Gary and daughter this morning. We welcome you here. We're glad to bless you. We're glad to have you in our worship service. As we come together this morning and to worship God and to praise Him for His goodness. God has been good. He's always good to us. And we just look around and see how good God is and how He's blessing our people and blessing us day by day. And it's great. And He deserves our worship. He deserves to be honored for His goodness, His mercy toward us. And so we praise Him for that. I'm going to share with you from Psalms 23 as we begin our service this morning. It reads like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thou art with me. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a hope, what a promise from Almighty God. Let's praise Him for it.
For hymn of worship this morning, we're going to use 46, sing the first and last verse, and Benny will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we come this with thanksgiving. God, You have showed favor to us. You have blessed us so abundantly. You're just so good to us, Heavenly Father. Your mercy dwells with upon us. We know, Heavenly Father, that that word also means kindness. And You've been so kind to us and so good to us this past week, even, Heavenly Father. We just have to be here. We just have to come and show our thanksgiving. And by being here, Heavenly Father, we pray that You will take it as our thanksgiving for Your good things that You have blessed us with in this past week, making it possible for us to be here. You have told us, Heavenly Father, as we come together and as we pray one for another, that, Heavenly Father, You hear our prayers. And so this morning we pray, Heavenly Father, for each one present here this morning, that You look into our lives, each one, every one, Heavenly Father, and You know our needs better than we do. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You will minister to each one according to their needs, that, Heavenly Father, You give directions and encouragement to each and every one present this morning, that they go forth this week, that they might have a great week, they might have a profitable week, they might have a joyful week, because we seek Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and we come to honor You and to praise Him in His name. Amen.
Now for communion, hymn we're using 158, sing first and last verse.
Oh,
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house. As I mentioned before, we look about and we see several of our people are not absent. And I didn't know Virginia's still sick. Anybody just got an update on her? And because the last we was talking to her, I thought she was on the way to recovery. But we have Pauline's not here, and then Virginia's absent. And then on back there, we have Fanny and Wayne is not here. They haven't been here for a couple of weeks now. They're here so regular, and they've had a couple of funerals the last couple of weeks. But I understand that she's having car trouble, and of course, driving from Lexington, she's a little leery of doing that. So we pray that those things be worked out. Judy and Jerry, that's absent back there this morning, and they usually call either Doodle or Maxine or myself and let us know if there's something wrong. So we pray that there's nothing wrong with them. But they have had a little bit of a health issue there lately that came up on them suddenly. And let's see, who else was missing over here? We're leaving somebody out, I'm sure. But we're so glad that you're here, and we just pray that those people will be strengthened and be able to be back with us. Share with you then tonight, our Bible study. And then next Sunday evening, we'll be going over to Berea Christian Church to the Fifth Sunday Hymn Sing. And that will be a grand time and kind of addition to our joy of being together. It's always good to come together with those of like precious faith from the community, and we don't get to see them very often. And so that's good. So we encourage you to next Sunday at 6:00, we'll be over to Berea. And hope you can be a part of that. Am I missing anything that needs to be announced this morning of anybody? Other than God is so good. We don't have to announce that. We just look around and see that, don't we? Amen. All right, let's turn to our prayer list then and look at what's taking place. And we've had some, I'm sorry.
Ben Bug wants something.
Benny,
we got tax. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead, Doodle. Yeah, Doodle has got your tax thing back there. and be sure to pick that up as you go out. I'm sorry, I seen that back there, and I meant to do that. And so we just have Maxine just got a text there during after Sunday school Bible study that our granddaughter Amber was taken to the hospital last night. We're not sure exactly all that's taken place there. Hopefully nothing seriously, but we never know. Going to the hospital is serious, regardless of what it is, isn't it? So we ask for prayers for her. Up and down our prayer list, Stephen Doss isn't doing good and is really going through some complications. And he certainly needs prayer and healing. And as you hear of what's all taking place there and what they're doing for him, they're trying to do good things for him, but it don't look like he's going to be able to go back to work, possibly. We hope maybe that would happen, but his condition and all the broken up bones and so forth, very possible that he'll be disabled the rest of his life. So let's pray that God will work good things there for them. And who else we have on here that we want to take notice? Each and every one we're greatly concerned about and we want to pray for and pray about. We look around and see, and even we have here with us, and as we said before, visiting with us this morning, Gary and Judy and daughter. And so, I mean, we look back there, and there's answer to prayer right there. Yeah. And we're so glad that you're able to be out and going. Here a while back, it was kind of a little hard going, wasn't it? And we're just so thankful that God works for us and helps us and ministers to us. And wonderful that he has the facility set in place to help us with. And so that's great. Let's see. Also, Billy, we heard from Billy Wilson, we've talked to him once in a while during the week. And today, they said he's doing fairly well. So we pray that all things will work out for him. And he'll be able to be back going strong here. And who else do we have? We have a family here, Robin Sutherland. Died this week, so we want to be in prayer for that family. We know that God brings comfort, and so we ask for God's comfort for them. Our service people, those caregivers that care for it, and we mention so often, and as I've said before, I've come to realize in the past year more and more how valuable the doctors and nurses and hospital staff and so forth and those caregivers, how valuable they are, and how wonderful that we have people that dedicate their life to helping others. I mean, look where we would be. And God uses them in such a great and wonderful way. So pray constantly God's blessing upon them as they labor in the medical fields and doing what they do, and all the surgeries and so forth that has taken place, and so forth. What else we want to? Our church family, and certainly we pray for each other and pray for the churches around us that things will go out. I think about it this morning as I was sitting there, and I thought, just today of how many people, thousands, millions probably, we could say millions of people are gathered just like you are this morning here in this place. Little places like this, and some places there's thousands, but regardless of who they are, where they are, we're worshiping and praising the great one and only true God, the one that can answer our prayers, the one that loves us, and the one that's concerned about every little aspect of your life. And so he is at work doing that. And so people are gathered to praise him and honor him for that. Let us never, ever forget to thank God constantly for his goodness and his goodness to all the people that we are associated with. So much to be very thankful for, yet so many people that we need to keep in our prayers. And we know that a couple of our people this week have been to the doctors, and hopefully that whatever you were ministered with there will be work well for you, and things will be great, and you'll just be back to good going and so forth in the Lord. So let's thank the Lord for that.
For our prayer hymn, going to be used in 217, first and fourth verse. Virgil will have her prayer. So stand.
Mm.
The invitation hymn be number 401, 401. What a special today.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim my God how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, folks. And thank you, Carr, for your special music from week after week. We appreciate it so very much. And truly, how great thou art. Yes. If you notice on the bulletin there, I left something out, and that was the birthday of my sweet wife. Martin Luther King Day, they'll be celebrating. But well, Maxine's birthday is tomorrow. I think that calls for a trip to Red Lobster. I don't know. That's a usual... All right. Well, we're back to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to wear this thing out, and at least we're going to know a little bit more about it than what we started. Chapter 9 and verse 57 through 62, once again reads like this: And it came to pass that as they went their way, a certain man said unto him, speaking of the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds have nests, and birds of there have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man hath put his hand to the plow, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Matthew and Luke records this scene here that we have that took place. And they're a little bit different, but that... doesn't mean that as we see the writers write, lots of times they will write something about a particular incident, but it doesn't mean they're copying after each other. It means they are just recording what they have saw, what they have seen, or they are recording what has been told them by believable witnesses and such. And so Luke has a little bit fuller meaning than Matthew here. And so we're using this morning verse 60. As getting our title from, Let the Dead Bury the Dead. And we notice from the scripture here, these three men that approached Jesus, and Jesus did ask one of them to follow, and the other two volunteered to follow. And this seems to be a hard saying here for this fellow, but hopefully we'll see what a little bit about the meaning of it here. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And we're aware of the rulers that have authority. And, you know, as kings, we've read about them. And we know now that people in great authority have people that they have demands on They demand their subjects' full service, that they demand their full alliance to them. And that's really what Jesus is doing here. He's helping us to see that if we are going to follow Jesus, if we're going to be his followers, we must put him first. We must be subject to what he has in store for us. I've heard missionaries from America that has been on foreign land who have been in countries and they have had loved one pass away, and because of their commitment and because of no one to take over their work, they're not able to come back and to be a part of the funeral ceremonies or the burial of a loved one. We know in the military there has been times, and I know the military tries very hard, I think, when a parent especially dies, that they try to fly that person back to be at the funeral and so forth. But there has been times that they had not been able to allow them to leave because of their commitment and because of their duty, and so they have to stay there serve in the service. And they don't think, you know, that the followers of Jesus here, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if we have to be that subject to earthly kings and people of authority, don't you think then that truly Jesus wouldn't be asking too much? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our Savior. He's the Messiah that came to seek to save the lost. And shouldn't we be subject to him? Shouldn't we put him first? Shouldn't we commit to follow him and the commands that he has for us? David was called, when David was called into the service of the Lord, he was called to go forth and serve God as Israel's leader, and he left everything he had. He was at shepherding his father's flock, and he just left all that he had and went, and he was doing God's will, and he was putting his priority where it ought to be. And in the passage, Jesus demands first authority to his kingdom. That's really what he said. Those who look back, and certainly we want to be admonished this year. Our theme is, you know, put our hand to the plow. We're going to plow up ground. We're going to cultivate this year. We're going to plant good seed and such. We're going forward with the Lord, and not looking back at the old things that in the past. And because the scripture says, if we turn back, if we look back, we're going to be attracted to those things back there. And people who are attracted and go back, they're not fit for the kingdom. And we have to put Jesus first in our life. And so Jesus speaks of the second man, telling him, you know, to let the dead bury the dead. And this seems a little harsh, but Jesus wasn't speaking harsh to this man. He knew this man's heart, and he knew what was going on with him. And he knows, and most likely this man's father had not died. If this man's father had just died, he wouldn't be here following Jesus. Because we know and understand the traditions of back in that day, that they had to bury the dead the day that they died. That was a thing that had to be done. We see that in the death of Lazarus, that he was buried the day that he died. And we understand that. So this man, if he if his father had just died, he would have been back taking care of the burial ceremonies there. Not only was that the responsibility of burying them, but that was a lengthy thing, you know, to bury your father, bury your parents and so forth, because it actually was a year-long process. Because when the person died, they had to bury him that day. Then there was about a 40-day mourning period. And then after a time, up to the year, usually it took a year, at the end of a year, after this parent would have died, then they take their bones out and they put it in a usury box, so to speak. And the reason for that, and then they put it in a little compartment where there's shells. And the reason for that is because they made room for more people to use the tombs, because those were usually carved out of the stone, and they weren't just, you know, you just couldn't go to the funeral home and buy casket and dig a hole. That was a process there. And so they had to bury them, mourn for them. They had to take care of their bones. So this man could have been talking about a long period of time. This man could have been talking about a year's time you're coming back to. I remember, though, reading of Jacob. Jacob was down in Egypt, and he had made his son Joseph promise him that he would, when he died, he would take him back to the promised land and bury him there. Now, the scripture teaches us that when Jacob died, Joseph had his servant physicians to embalm him. And then after the mourning period was over, they got permission to take Jacob back and bury him, which took place. Also, it says all in the same line there that Joseph died 110 years of age, and it says that they embalmed him. And then it teaches us that when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, they brought then Joseph's body back and buried it at Shechem. You know, when we think about them coming through the wilderness, I don't know how many times you might, and you probably never thought about them carrying a corpse along with them, but they did. They brought Joseph. It was back and brought and buried him at Shechem. So they brought him at a good peace. So there was embalming in that day. But in this day that Jesus is speaking about here, now I don't know, in the days of Jesus, I don't know how they lost the embalming practice. That was a thing of Egypt. We now, today, you know, we can embalm a person and we can keep them for a week, 2 weeks, and then have a funeral and so forth. But at this time that we're looking at this passage, there was no embalming process. They had lost it, or they had never gained it, I don't know what, but they had to bury the body the same day. And so the man's father had just died. He would have been there burying him. He'd been taking care of his funeral. So there was a different thought here than what we really see. So Jesus wasn't being too harsh here with him. Let the dead bury the dead, he said, and this has a reference to those that are spiritually dead. I really believe that Jesus is talking. You know, we read in the scripture where it talks about people being dead in sin. That are people not dead physically. They are just dead to the spiritual things of life. I believe there's a lot of people today that is dead, that is living, and they're dead. They are spiritually dead. And this man really wasn't in a bad situation. He wasn't between what some would say a rock and a hard place. And he wasn't in between, you know, right and wrong. What was taking place? He was between right and right. It was a very right thing to do to bury your father, to see that your father was properly buried. That was a right thing to do. The scriptures teaches us that we should honor and care for them. That was a right thing to do. But also, follow Jesus is the right thing to do. So this man was faced right here with a decision between right and right. What's he going to do? And so this man wanted to follow Jesus, but he said, first let me go and bury my dad. So if you understand what I'm saying there then, you see, this could have been a year process. Maybe longer than that. The man might have been young. Father might have been a young age, and he might have lived for 10, 15 years. Who knows? We don't know that possibility. So it could have not just been a year's length of time here. It could have been a lengthy time. One thing that this man might have thought is this, that he would go home, and, you know, he was the elderly son, maybe, and he knew that when he buried his father, he would get an inheritance. And maybe he's saying, Jesus, I'll go home, and I'll bury my father, I'll get my inheritance, and then we'll have some money, and we can stay at Days Inn or someplace, you know. We'll have a place to lay our head. I'll be able to afford that. Maybe he's saying that, I don't know. But he might have that in thought, you know. A lot of people do that, you know. A lot of people say, well, when I get married, I'll serve you, Lord, I'll follow you. When my children are grown up, I'll follow you. When I get my house paid for, I'll follow you. When I retire, I'll follow you. But not yet. And that's what this man is saying. Lord, I'll follow you, but not yet. Not yet. isn't that the way with most people today, or a lot of people today? Maybe it was the way with you at one time. Maybe it's the way with you now. It was the way with me at one time. I said, Lord, I'd like to follow you, but not now. But I'm glad to find out. I'm glad that the Lord spoke to me and said, it's time now. It's time now. And you know, that's true, isn't it? When the Lord asked you to follow, it's time to go. It's time to follow. And so here it is. The man wanted to follow Jesus, but not just yet. And even though, you know, I'm convinced that this man, when he said this, he knew who Jesus was. He'd been with him at some time, maybe. And he really probably wanted to follow Jesus. But not just yet. I've talked to people who'd like to follow. I want to follow Jesus. But they have that, not yet. Not yet. When I get this or get that or do this or do that, then I'll follow. Jesus wanted this man to follow him now. He wanted him to follow him now. Do you notice something here? Jesus is not afraid to discourage someone from following him. This passage teaches us that. This passage, as we'll get further down the line, we'll be talking about different things. Count the cost. Jesus is emphasizing here in this passage to these three men, especially, hey, it's not an easy thing here to follow me. I want you to understand that. So Jesus is not afraid to say, and I think you've heard me say, and especially in our Bible study, evening Bible study, we've talked about that, you know, that, hey, don't teach people, you know, that it's pie in the sky, because Jesus didn't teach that. Hey, it's a little struggle sometime following Jesus. Things gets a little rough sometime following Jesus. Gets a little hard to follow Jesus sometimes, but Jesus will help you through that, and we'll see that later. Now, yeah, Jesus pressed this man to follow him. I believe Jesus emphasized strongly to this man. When he says, let the dead bury the dead, that's pretty strong emphasis. You follow me, you go and preach the kingdom. That's important for you. That's important to you. And Jesus has said several times, if you follow me, you must give up the worldly things that will hinder you. That will hinder you from fully committing following him. Notice I did not say that he had to give up everything. We have people that believe. And people who preach and people who say, they go back to the rich young ruler, and Jesus told him that he would have to sell all he had and give it to the poor and come follow him. What Jesus is not saying that everybody has to get rid of everything they have. He is just saying you must give up that which hinders you from following me. That which hinders you from following me. Whatever it is that you have, or you're doing that hinders you from following Jesus, you need to cut away from that. You need to give it up. You know, you might have to change your occupation. I read in scripture here that Jesus even gives the idea that you have to, one day you might have to give up your occupation. That happened, didn't it? As he goes along, what did he do? He called fishermen out of their boat. And you're no longer going to fish for fish. You're going to change your occupation. You're going to be fishing for men. He stopped at the tax collector's office and told the tax collector to follow me. And the tax collector, Matthew, just closed the door and followed him. He took a tax collector and made him a collector of people for the kingdom. So, yay, you may have to change your occupation. But, you know, you may have to change your job occupation, really. He may get you transferred from here down in Mississippi. He may get you transferred somewhere else in the nation. And if he does, you know, he's going to have you there plowing ground, planting seed for the kingdom. He's going to use you. So, yeah, you may have to change occupations there. Jesus had that. We see that happen in the scripture. We took little David from his father's back hill farm there and took him and made him king of Israel. Wouldn't it be wonderful? He might take you out of the position you're in, put you in another position, change everything about. He's got a place for you. And sometimes he might change you, use you in a different way. Jesus, here, you know, it isn't the earthly things. And we've said this before, and I think you probably got this pretty well down. It isn't usually the earthly things that you have that keep you from following Jesus. It is the earthly things that have you that keep you from following Jesus. And that's very true. People sometimes get themselves in such shape. We have people, I know of some people, and bless their heart, I don't know why they get themselves in that fix. Sometimes it's not under their control. But most of the time it is under their control. They'll get themselves so indebted in such a way that they have to take a second job to make ends meet. And they have done that themselves. We know that sometimes illnesses and so forth causes people to have to change their life and change what's going on and so forth. But sometimes we just do those things bring those things upon ourselves. And so Jesus teaches us that we need some time to deny ourselves and come follow him. That's the best thing to do. And Jesus also says that if any man follow me, he must take up his cross. So we'll be talking about denying yourself and taking up the cross in later days. But Jesus said, you know, that he calls his people to follow. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they will follow him. And when you hear the voice of Jesus, you need to follow. You need to follow. Not put it off. Oftentimes, and I've seen people who have just wanted to come and acknowledge Jesus as the Lord and wanted to follow Jesus, but they just don't do it, you know. Not yet. Put it off to do it. Something else takes place. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall he be also. Jesus encourages and invites people. He says to come and follow. He says, where I am there. He says, me. When he said, well, we come to follow him. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? If there's any honor that you would like to have, that you would desire to have, it ought to be the honor that the Father would give you for following Jesus. Amen? Let the dead bury the dead. Some people are dead to Christ, and that's really what Jesus is talking about here. They are spiritually dead. They don't see the beauty of following Christ. I can understand that because one time I thought that was, earthly things was more important. I didn't see the joy and the beauty of following Jesus. And I'm afraid that's what happens today. People just don't, they are dead to the things of God. They're dead to the spiritual things of the Lord. And they don't see the beauty. They don't hear his voice when he says to come follow him. Therefore, they don't have a desire to follow him. And so it is. Jesus says, only his sheep hear his voice. And I know them, and they know him. The dead that Jesus speaks about here is a spiritual dead. You know, it's just kind of silly to think that a dead person would get up out of a grave and dig a grave for another person that's died. That's just kind of silly thinking, isn't it? But I think that way. But anyhow, that can happen, and that's ridiculous, and that's not what Jesus is talking about here. The living spiritual dead should bury the physical spiritual dead. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He is saying the dead in sin should bury the dead in sin. So I don't know this fellow's condition here. I don't know the family. Only Jesus knows. Was it possible that he is the only one following Jesus, that his family were contrary to Jesus? You know, there were many, many that rejected Jesus, didn't accept him to be who he was, looked at him as a traitor, and so forth. And so maybe this fellow's, rest of his family, were certainly non-spiritual people, possibly. And furthermore, in Matthew, Jesus made it clear, saying, he who loves father and mother more than he loves me is not worthy of me. That's a hard saying, isn't it? That's a hard saying. But if we understand what Jesus is saying there, Jesus was encouraging wasn't encouraging his disciples to despise his parents. He was saying, yes, you know, we're commanded to love our parents, to honor our parents. And Jesus is not asking us to not love our parents. He's just saying, if you love them more than you love me, then you're not worthy to be a part of my kingdom. Jesus is saying your priorities ought to be to follow me, put me first. And we know the reason for that, don't we, fellas, people? Because of what Jesus can do for our lives. If people realize what Jesus could do for their lives, they wouldn't put off following Jesus, would they? Jesus tells this man his duty is to follow him and proclaim the kingdom of God. That's our job as Christians, is to plant good seed around this community that people would come to know and want to follow Jesus. There's been a time, not often, when a spiritual dead person has had, when a spiritual dead person has had a spiritual dead loved one die. And that spiritual dead person, in making arrangements for their spiritual dead family, parent or who it might be, their extended family, and the spiritual friends of those spiritual dead, has no consideration for the spiritual. And so let's put it this way. Suppose that you have a spiritual dead aunt. I hope this is not true, but it's possibly, I can see it happening out in the world. Suppose you have a spiritual dead aunt, and she's had influence on her children, and they are spiritual dead children. And so your spiritual dead aunt dies, and your spiritual dead cousins makes arrangements for your spiritual dead aunt at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Has no consideration for the spiritual people of their family or ancestors. What would you do? That's the question Jesus leaves here. That's probably not going to happen, but maybe it does. I know of people before who have had reunions, and they are not really good, God-honoring people, most of the family isn't. And they will have their reunion on Sunday, and they will eat at 12 o'clock. What is that doing? They're having no concern for the spiritual people. We've seen that happen, but that can be changed. That has been changed several times. One of the things, we went Friday to Maxine's niece's husband died up in Morrow, Ohio. And we went up to the funeral Friday. And we noticed one of the great nieces weren't there. And we were wondering why she wasn't. And Maxine asked. And they said, well, the college, she's going to college. And the college professor told her that she ought to consider the fact that her dead grandfather would rather she be in class than at his funeral. And you know, Saturday I was reading some articles, and just by chance I was reading this, and it was talking about this professor at this college had commanded his people that they should put college before everything, and that they would not be excused to go home to their loved one's funeral. That's odd, isn't it? Well, Jesus was kind of saying, let the spiritual dead bury the spiritual dead. And I think that's a fair saying. Jesus wants us to put first our spiritual being. Let nobody rob you of your spirituality. And that will happen. Some of you can testify to that, that you know of that happening, or maybe it has happened to you. Satan will use your very loved ones to rob you of your spirituality. Never, ever let that happen. If a time comes when you're called to follow Jesus and there is something going on in the dead spiritual world, I would hope that you would choose. As Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. In this text, we see the word follow three times. Three times it is mentioned there. Do you see the wonderful point here? And there is a wonderful point here. If you don't see it, I want you to see it. I really want you to get it. What is being said here is this. It is saying that being a disciple of Jesus, when we're following Jesus, we are in his presence. Can you think about this man? That he was called to follow Jesus, and Jesus would be with him, and he would be with Jesus. Isn't that a promise we get from the Word of God today? If we follow Jesus, he'll not forsake us. He'll be with us. And isn't that encouraging to think? This passage sets forth the fact that if we follow Jesus, we will always be in his presence. I think if we get nothing else out of that passage today, we need to realize that if we follow Jesus, we have the joy of him being in our presence, we being in his presence, that he is there to help us in everything that we need and lead us in every way that we should go. What a wonderful thought to me that is. When Jesus says, follow me, he is offering his fellowship. You know, isn't that wonderful? I mean, the very Son of God tells you to come follow him. He is offering his fellowship, his friendship, and his partnership in all the things that take place. Man, that is great. Folks, think about it. The God-man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that who was in the beginning, whose power upholds everything that we see, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one born of the Virgin, of the manger, of the very Holy One of God, the one that walketh through the sinful world and knew no sin of his own, the one who died for the sins of mankind, rose from the dead to raise the spiritual dead from the spiritual death, calls you in fellowship with him. Could there be anything? Could there be anything greater than that? To be constantly in fellowship with the very Son of God. Constantly. He speaks to each of us here this morning. Follow me. It won't be easy, but it'll be good. He has promised us that. It won't be easy, but it'll be good. And so he says, come. Porter Church, he says, come to you if you haven't followed. Get your hand on the plow and let's plow up some ground and plant some new seed. Let's see a good harvest when the Lord comes. Are you part of that? If not, you can be today as we stand and sing. First verse of our invitation hymn. Stand with me, please. Thank you.
really hope that you really mean that. I really do. Because that's the best thing that you'll ever do. Where Jesus leads, I'll follow. Thank you for being in the Lord's house. And thank you for just loving the Lord and wanting to serve Him and coming to thank Him. What an encouragement it is to see so many people who love the Lord like that. God bless you. Might you go forth this week and have the greatest, grandest week you ever had because you're following Jesus, following Jesus. As we go, we're going to ask Ron to ask God's blessing on us, if you will, please. Amen. God bless you. Understand that.